We're going to get started here. We have a handout with today's date on it, and this is the second of our series of weaker vessel venues. And, the Bible refers to women as the weaker vessel, and these are just some studies here and some really jump-off points for us to do some Bible study and work through some things on our own. I have a question as we begin. Anybody here ever have to wait for anything? One of us ever have to wait for anything? All hands should go up, right? Anybody here ever have to wait a long time for anything? Okay. Pardon me? He's
waiting for me all the time.
A long time for anything. Yeah, hands went up. Hands went up as well. So that's really the theme of what we're doing, and that is something that the people of God have to deal with. It's throughout the Bible. I mean, think about examples in the scripture of, the Israelites were waiting for Moses to come, someone to set them free from Egypt for over 400 years, right? There's an intertestamental period of 400 years. There's Moses, and his life is when he's 40, he hears the call of God to go back, and it wasn't until he was 80 till he began his most important work, and then he spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness with the Israelites waiting to go into the promised land, and dies at 120. It kind of puts things in perspective a little bit here. And so we're going to talk about the theme of waiting here. And we want to start with a psalm. It's Psalm number 13, if you'd like to look at the lyrics in the Psalter that we have. But we're going to sing it to a tune that we know. That sounds like a good idea to me. So the tune we know is Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Bum, 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 bum. You know how that goes. So let's stand and sing Psalm number 13. How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? Shall it forever be? Oh, how long shall it be that thou wilt hide thy face from me? How long shall I plan in my soul with grief in heart all day? Oh, how long shall my enemy hold his exalted sway? Consider me, O Lord my God, and answer thou my cry. Oh, to my eyes give light, lest I should sleep with those who die, and lest my enemy should say, I have him overcome. Lest adversaries should rejoice because I taken am. But I have trusted in thy love, I'll thy salvation praise. My heart will sing and bless the Lord who dealt with me in grace. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm and this reminder and this short little study here about how we are those that wait upon you, and help us to recognize that there are various reasons and circumstances for that, some within, some without. Help us in those periods of time in our lives, those seasons that perhaps are extended where we wait upon you. Lord, help all of us. Help me with this. Lord, be gracious and be near. And help us to remember your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read Psalm 13, the psalm that we just sang was versified here, but again, you'll get the idea here. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I'm going to take us back a little bit here to the book of Genesis and the story of Joseph. Joseph is one who waited. You know, we read the Bible and we think that all these things kind of just happen one right after another here, but I have a title for this. I'm calling The Baker, The Butler, and The Bus Stop. By the way, anybody here have to wait a long time for a bus ever? Well, I have. The Baker, The Butler, and The Bus Stop. And so this is from Lori Short's book, and she didn't wait a short time for some of the things in her life. She remember as an adolescent, she always wanted to be a wife and a mother. And she was married when she was, anybody remember from last week? 49, right? And she wanted to be a mother, and part of her wedding was that she was automatically becoming a stepmom, something she wasn't really anticipating. So that was Lori's story from last week. And this is about remembering and then living out our wants. And it's from Genesis 41, and hopefully we'll get the context of the whole story here of Joseph here. But Joseph is in prison, and Genesis 41:1 says this, and when two full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. And so I don't know if you remember this segment of Joseph's life. And Joseph's life had a lot of parts to it that were not a pretty picture at all. Right, and Joseph is a type of Jesus, and Jesus' life on earth was not a pretty picture, a lot of it. So here we go. When two full years had passed, Genesis 41 opens, and we immediately move on to the passage to what is next. But taking a minute to live in that phrase helps us to appreciate the actual time needed for our stories to unfold. The story of Joseph can encourage us in a different way when we pause over verses like this one, especially when we consider what it took to actually live the story out. You know, I found this to be true, first really discovering that the book of Acts didn't happen in an afternoon, right? We read it and we can read it in an afternoon, but it didn't happen in an afternoon, right? And so again, what Lori is doing in this whole book of hers where she has these verses is she takes verses, and they're not typically memory verses. Did anyone have this verse memorized? Is this anybody's life verse? No, right? So the point is she takes these verses that we just kind of, you know, just blow by and not pay attention to, and she develops them, which is good training for us to read the Bible that way, to read the Bible that carefully. But a part of Joseph's life and a part of Joseph's training was making sure things were lining up for what God had next for him. And sometimes that does not happen overnight. The problem we can have with many Bible faith stories is that we hear them in a 30-minute sermon or a Bible study, and we feel the rush and the excitement as we watch God move, but we forget to take in the immense weight that lives in these six small words. When two full years had passed. For 2 years, Joseph lived, rotting away, right, in a jail cell. 2 years of checking off the monotonous days and nights that passed without end. And let's not forget the word full in case 2 years passes too quickly off your tongue. Some things that need to happen in our lives can only be accomplished through time. When God wants to work in us, through us, or around us, these time lapses are integral for our for how our stories will unfold. Joseph's circumstances shaped his character to prepare him to be the leader he would one day become. And having to persevere in his trial was the only way these character qualities could be developed. Now, it's important that when we have to wait, it isn't necessarily just about character development that we need. It can be another person's character development. It can be other events that have to happen. And so sometimes we are waiting around and, you know, Karen, though, she's probably smiling over there, Jim, read some of these things for yourself, would you please? And so the idea here is that our waiting isn't always just about us, right? Events also need to unfold around Joseph to pave the way for the job he would be hired to do. We only see how things line up or did line up when we look back. Sometimes it isn't until after these things are well over with and we saw, that was important for that to line up. There's a secret we need to remember about time. The waits that seem endless now will one day be seen as necessary for what they brought us, and we will recognize their value in our spiritual growth. Joseph's story actually begins when he is a cocky young teenager, proclaiming his dream of grandeur to his unenthusiastic brothers. And we observe in Genesis 37 that God had some work to do to humble Joseph, and he did. Joseph's trials start to unfold when his jealous brothers sell him into slavery. And we see the first glimpse of his maturing character when he resists the advances of his master, remember, Potiphar's wife. But instead of being rewarded for his strength, he is falsely accused of rape and sent to jail. And, you know, you think about Jesus. He went around doing good, but at every time, was he rewarded? I mean, the entirety of his earthly ministry found no reward on earth. Can you think about that for a minute? The entirety of his earthly life found no reward on earth. It isn't until the resurrection that he has a measure of vindication and glory. Instead of being rewarded for his strength, he's falsely accused, sent to jail. Joseph had already logged some time in captivity before being moved to a prison cell. And he continues to be unfairly treated at every turn. And Joseph is a type of Christ. And oh, by the way, we, like Job, like Joseph, we learned this from James, and we learned it from the book of Job, we are being tempered and becoming Christ-like. At every turn. What we see looking back on Joseph's story, however, is that each unseemingly bad turn was positioning him for the good that would ultimately come. In this, we find our hope. Sometimes the way up is down. And one of the strengthening aspects of Joseph's story is that it shows all that he goes through before he lands. And again, sometimes in life, the way up is our own resurrection. But we have to slow down and live the timing of his story to fully receive what it has to give. Just before the phrase, when 2 full years had passed, opening Genesis 41, we have every indication that things are about to change, you know? So just about when we think that, okay, it's going to go great for Joseph, we get 2 full years, 2 more full years. If we're reading the story, we get the indication things are about to change. Joseph had settled into being an obedient prisoner, finds himself imprisoned with two of Pharaoh's attendants. We hold our breath, especially since we remember his dream, right? And we have a sense that these two fellow inmates will be the key to his rising power. But this is where the timing of the story takes a turn. After accurately interpreting the two men's troubling dreams, Joseph asked the cupbearer, "Hey, buddy, I just interpreted your dream. Remember me when you get out of jail." But in the last verse of chapter 40, we get the despairing news that Joseph doesn't know. That a cupbearer forgot all about Joseph and never gave Joseph another thought. I don't know if you remember the story. Joseph, these two guys have a dream, and Joseph interprets them, and the cupbearer there is going to get out of prison, and he's going to get out of prison right away. And Joseph says, "Hey, when you get out, remember me." So again, we're on the edge of our seat in the story of Joseph that says, hey, the cupbearer is going to tell Pharaoh right away, and Joseph's going to get out. But no, it's 2 years. The cupbearer forgets all about Joseph. Since Joseph doesn't know what we know, that the guy forgot, I imagine that for the first year, his persevering hope sustains him. Oh, he's going to remember any day now and tell Pharaoh, and I'll get out, right? But the second year, and she's speculating here, undoubtedly brings feelings of hopelessness and despair. I mean, if somebody gets out right away, and you give them an assignment to go tell somebody, I mean, after 2 years, you're probably not very hopeful that that person either said it or that things are going to go favorably for you. Scripture is silent, but I believe it is likely that Joseph gives up on the cupbearer remembering him just before the cupbearer's memory is restored. 2 years later, he remembered, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you about Joseph." In this timing of events, we can glean an insight for our faith. We can't always see what might be directly ahead. And when we are leaving, when we are living our own seasons of endless darkness, this part of Joseph's story can infuse us with hope. We cannot grow our faith if we aren't giving a chance to exercise it. Right, Alan? No testimony without a test. Sometimes the test takes 2 years. Sometimes it takes 40 years, like Israel in the wilderness. Sometimes it takes 400 years, like the Israelites in slavery in Egypt and in the intertestamental period. We cannot grow in our faith if we aren't given a chance to exercise it. And these time lapses in Joseph's story give him that opportunity. Once again, once God does move, he moves quickly, and we almost forget the long periods of waiting that precede these moments. Pharaoh's troubling dreams stirs the cupbearer's memory, and within hours we find Joseph's prison sentence taking a dramatic turn. The prison cell turns out to be his road to the palace. Had he not been there to meet the cupbearer, this connection would not have been made. And by the way, the drought, part of this 2 years wait, is that Joseph has to wait for God's timing that this drought is at the doorstep. I mean, it has nothing to do with Joseph, right? Directly. I mean, nothing to do with Joseph, like, oh, you know, what did I do wrong? Or why is God not happy with me? And I'm rotting away here in this jail cell. Egypt's drought. And so I have a little note there. Even if we are ready, we are not the only variable, right? Sometimes there's an event that needs to take place, a season that needs to unfold in the culture. Maybe it's another person that we're waiting on. I mean, Lori would tell you from her own testimony that She was ready to be married from the time she was 15 years old. Well, to keep it legal, I guess I better say 17 or something like that, right? But the partner wasn't ready till she was 49. Egypt's drought is integral to Joseph's rise to power as well. So the wait in jail was to happen to line up the circumstances, has to happen for the circumstances to line up for Joseph to be called. Seeing the big picture of the story, which again, we can't see all the variables. We see them afterwards. Seeing the big picture of the story helps us understand all that happened, even while much of it seems unfair along the way. Hovering over our 2 full years had passed, we understand what it takes to live out our faith. And again, how many of us have waited? I'm sure there are some of us, we've lived long enough that we've waited more than 2 years for certain things. But this is just a story in one bullet point. Some of us, it seems like, you know, 2 years would be way too long to wait for anything. Joseph's dream of leadership would ultimately did come to pass. And by the way, his dream was not something that he dreamed up on his own. It was given to him by God. So there's nothing selfish about it. There was nothing of pride or vainglory in it. God had given him that dream. And so he's going through his life, and God had given him this dream, but it's denied at every turn for many, many years. Joseph's dream of leadership did come to pass, but only after it looked like it wouldn't. It is in that confusion and that darkness where faith is lived out. And here's Lori again. When I got engaged and then unengaged, what ended up happening to her is she waited from the time she was a young lady, 17, let's say. She got engaged early in her 40s, and that engagement was broken off. Can you imagine waiting that long and then having that happen? When I got engaged and then unengaged in my 40s, after a long season of singleness, I wondered how God could bring me so close to my dream and then take my hope. Years later, I saw, when she would say, I see the story differently. Joseph's story was pivotal in my journey of faith, and perhaps it will speak to your life too. One of the things I've wanted to do here is to have some interaction. Okay? So, are you waiting for something right now? And if so, do you feel discouraged or encouraged in your wait? And how does Genesis 41:1 speak to you? Who wants to address that? Norma.
We've been waiting for years and years for the salvation of Alan's brothers, and we have been praying for them.
Yeah.
And the first glimmer of hope was when we were back on the farm, and his brothers, two of his brothers were in monastery. But it was the occult. And we thought, actually, we were at a prayer meeting, and his mother got a call, and the one brother was expelled from the monastery. And so Alan came to the prayer meeting, and it was like, such a joyous thing, because we thought, oh, this is the beginning.
Yep, yep.
And that was, you know, that was years ago. And the same thing happened with the other brother, too. He was thrown out of the monastery, too. So we're thinking, well, we're still praying. And every time we have a chance, because they don't live close by, California and
Las Vegas.
They have opportunities to get together with their family, like when his mother passed away. And so we know, and they were brought up in a Christian home, and they've heard the message and everything. And so we keep praying, and it's coming up again where we're having a chance for his brother to come out and visit.
Yep.
And who knows?
Exactly. Right.
Who knows if this is another step or if this is going to make a difference?
Right.
We're praying. We're waiting.
Yeah. Waiting. Who knew that the rat boys were so unruly, getting kicked out of monasteries?
Both of the ways of all flesh.
Anybody else? Something you're waiting for? I know some of you. I know that some of you are waiting for certain things, so you don't have to speak, but for the benefit of the folks here, if you wanted to. Yes, Gary.
Along the line of what Norma was saying, we pray for our loved ones, relatives, we have to pray. Question two.
We can move on to number two.
Well, I don't want to move away from one if somebody's got things to say.
No, I think they're done. I haven't seen the other hands.
I would say number two probably speaks to all of our salvation.
Yes. Anybody want to elaborate on number two? You know, the sovereign God who saves us is the God who works his sovereignty through the means in which we are saved. And so that has to do with the timing in which we're saved, the people who are witnessing to us, the events that we're going through during that time. I could reflect on my own, you know, conversion, and, you know, the particular time was important, a particular person witnessing to me was important. Anybody else want to elaborate on that?
When you look back in your circumstances, at the time you're going through it.
Yeah. Who would like to live through that again, right?
Right.
Yep. We're going to move on to number three. Where do you feel tempted to give up? I mean, remember Psalm 13. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? Right? Or you're in the kind of battle where it looks like your enemy or your opponent, maybe it's a coworker, that person's winning and mocking you because you're the loser, right? Where do you feel tempted to give up? How does Joseph's story encourage you and see the timing in a different way? If you look more closely at what was happening in your life or through you, what do you observe? Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
don't want to give up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But that doesn't mean she's given up forever.
Right.
Lots of people said, you know, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And when Peter says that in John 21, right, it isn't like I'm going fishing recreationally like us on a Sunday afternoon. It's I'm going back to fishing. I'm done following the master here. I'm done. I'm going back to my old life. So little did he know that Christ was about to restore him again. And so that can happen with your sister. Don't give up on your sister. Well, giving up doesn't mean you have to go there. Okay, I mean, it can mean that, of course. But Chuck. Yep. Right. Correct. What other people are going to do, circumstances, right? Yes, an evil. Yes, good.
We're here at a famous whatever.
Yep.
I think about soap and all the boils.
Pottery, yes.
But it gives me a sense of the Lord can work anything out.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that sometimes I have to do it on my own. Also,
Right. But yeah, this idea that God doesn't like me anymore, you know, like with your sister, and that's very common for people. And you know, you want to hang on to some verses that remind you that God loves you, you know. And for me, one of them is, believe it or not, Galatians 2:20, right? I am crucified with Christ. I feel like that most days, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So with that verse kind of seared into who I've been the last, you know, several years, you know, it's a good reminder that God loves me when I feel like, oh, what did I do wrong, or why is this happening, you know? Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was tempted to give up. Too hungry to do that, but what a great study. What I was about.
Yeah.
What's interesting is after Alan had his stroke, his brothers have called him frequently now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, we never heard from him.
Yeah.
And so there is a connection with them.
Right. Talk about a circumstance that changes, that
brought,
might change a lot of other things. Yes.
Closeness with them.
All right. Well, good. Think on these things. Pray on these things. I know someone who's waiting, and that's Josh Cho. He's waiting for today to get over with because he doesn't want to be the center of attention after church today. But Josh, you're going to have to wait another couple of hours for that to be over with. Can you handle that? There you go. Good. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace to us. And Lord, we thank you that we're not unique, and that this is a common striving, Lord, of your people and an exercise of their faith. We thank you, Lord, for Psalm 13. And Lord, during seasons and times during the lives of your saints, they cry out, they say, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Will it be forever?" Lord, help us to place our trust in you. And as the end of the psalm says, remember that you deal abundantly with us, that we are being deepened, that we are being purified, and that we will come forth as gold, whether we find these answers in this life or the next. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.